All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Fans of Power podcast, your only weekly dedicated podcast from He-Man, the She-Ra, and everything in between. And I'm here with my guys, Joe and Tyler. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Nothing much, same old, same old. How's everything with you guys?
Pretty good.
I'm ready, willing, and able right now.
There you go.
Good.
And if I don't sound too animated, I'm trying to get my voice back to normal. A couple days ago, I fell asleep with my fist on my throat, right on my Adam's apple. And I can't even explain the pain, but I'm just
unless you meant like your fist down your throat, that cut, like over your Adam's. Oof, like, dear God, what are you doing?
No, it was – I just felt –
Throw a bottle of Fista.
I mean, we'll get into Fisto later. No, but I was dead tired. I just fell asleep right on my face, and somehow my fist raked my throat, and felt like somebody punched me there. But my voice will be a little tired. I'll still try to be enthusiastic. I was gonna say what I wanted to first mention was, I don't know if you guys seen it, but Sideshow Collectibles, they showed their upcoming Evil Lyn statue that'll come out, I believe, January to March of next year. I mean, that thing, it's amazing. First, I think it's $439, which, hey, if you have the money, if you have the money,
go
get that sucker.
It.
I mean, I can't get it. I'd love to, but hey, it's definitely worth it. That thing, I mean, how can I explain why I freak out about this? Meaning, we've seen the He-Man one, we've seen a Skeletor one, and just now with Evil Lyn. What's cool about these is they're all a unique vision. Whether they are taking little parts or things, or like inspiration from other things here and there,
it still is
so unique, so refreshing. And just, I mean, she's got tattoos on her back. She's got this cape. She's got a cool new kind of staff. Looks like a hand or something. I mean, it's got homages. To me, it feels like almost like Meg Foster's Evil Lyn, possibly.
Right, yeah.
It's bananas. I mean, have you both seen this? I hope.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool. And again, I just wanted to mention that if you see the He-Man Sideshow statue, he actually has her skull with her crown or whatever that is that she wears on his shoulder, it looks like. So it's like
– oh, no kidding. Is that officially – is it really hers or does it look like it? Or oh, okay.
It looks just like Evil Lyn's headdress. I don't know if it's her skull or not, but it's on one of his shoulders. So it's pretty cool. I thought that was a nice touch that they did that, whether or not he, fought her, killed her, and is wearing it.
Yeah,
and my phone is buzzing again. I thought I just turned it off, but it's buzzing again. I'm sorry, guys. But it's a cool those little things to me, man. Those little things add up and mean a lot. I don't know. To me, it's like those little details are just really cool.
And Tyler, what did you think about it when you seen it?
I immediately thought, I can't afford it. Like that's the first thing that comes into mind. That's
exactly
kind of how it is when I see any of these statues. I just kind of feel like I can't even look at it in full scale because, like, why am I going to just torture myself knowing I can't afford these things? But it was, just a very wonderful and stunning interpretation of the character, and just makes me think that I want to see him throw us a curveball and give us like a jitsu in this format. I mean, something we're not expecting, not just kind of stick with the typical lineup of the original characters, throw us something we would never expect, and I think something like jitsu in the same format as the three that have been released would be absolutely phenomenal.
And that would, I mean, I agree. I like it when they give you somebody that you're not expecting because, I mean, honestly, how most people are thinking, okay, we got He-Man, Skeletor. What next? Is it going to be Man-at-Arms, then Teela?
Yeah, it'll be Teela next, probably.
Yeah. So that's what was cool to see Evil Lyn was I didn't expect an Evil Lyn. Like I said, I can't get them, but doesn't mean I don't love seeing these things. And what's even better is what they're doing is these are visions I would love to see as them if we ever got a new movie. This is how I could feel they would look. I mean, they're already looking like they belong.
They look actually like that's how I would like to see them made. Exactly like what you're saying. To me, that it's like a perfectly updated version of what they should look like.
Right, right. You know, that's what I mean. So it's like just something refreshing, something different. I love what these artists and sculptors and everybody that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different people working on them, but it's just new people, new fresh ideas, and I love it. Like, not that I have anything against the pop culture shock ones that are coming that look like Filmation. Those are great, but when I look at them, I think, they're cool, but it's like, okay, that's Filmation. That's fantastic.
Just,
I see that.
These are just a brand new,
right?
Completely like off the wall, amazing, something brand new, like just brings life back. I don't know. It's just really cool. Yeah.
So Sideshow Collectibles, they need to be commended. And like I said, anybody, you know, go to their website. They're doing pre-orders on her statue now, and you can check it out. And even if you can't afford it, you know, either way, just go there, look, spread the word, and let people see how amazing this work is, because this is the kind of stuff we need more of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And as someone who who I want to speak about, too, hold on. I just got to find his name. He's got a figure coming out. Where is it now? I can't find it. His name. His name is Tino. I forget. I'm sorry, man. I thought I had it here. But he's the one that's coming out with that that Faker reaction figure. I told him I'd give him a nice shout out on the show, and you know, maybe get him some more business. But the figure looks amazing. I don't know if you guys saw it or not.
No, but what is it again? I mean, it's like a fan that's gonna do some like casting.
He's card back art. He did. Okay. His name is Tino something. I forget. I thought I had it on my page. I guess I didn't.
Wait a second. I might have seen that. Was that the one that, at least from the art, it looks like the inspired base might have been C-3PO with like a Faker head or something? Yes. Yeah, that looks cool. That looks really cool. Yeah, I like seeing.
Yeah. It's Faker. So it's like spelled weird or whatever. But
yeah, with the number 3 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. You know, it's something that you can add on with your Super 7 figures, and in case they don't get the Faker, you know, you can get that and add to the collection, and you know, I told them I'd mention it to the, you know, to our listeners and stuff, so be on the lookout for that. I think that's coming out very soon. Cool. I don't think it's that expensive either, but I only think he's doing like 10 at a time, because, you know, he's doing everything himself.
Yeah, definitely. So,
you know, you of all people should know, you know, card backs.
I completely understand I know where he's coming from, and I respect that, so that's awesome.
You know, he's doing the art himself, the card back himself, the figure, the painting. I mean, you know, he's doing the whole nine. Mm. So it's a pretty cool figure, man. It's like, you know, it's something that's definitely could jump in with the reaction figures that we're getting.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, I just wanted to say that. And
Well, who did you want to talk about this week? You had a particular character, Brian, that you kind of wanted to start off with. You start off with it. Let Tyler run into it. We'll all ramble about him, but I know you have somebody you want to
talk about. Well, I've been waiting forever for a CamelCon figure to get into Classics, and we're getting them at the PowerCon. I don't know. It's just something about the original. I just fell in love with them for some strange reason. I don't know, the buzz-off legs, or it's just weird. But I'm so finally happy that I'm going to have him in my collection. He was just – he's such a simple variant, a simple repaint, and I think he's going to be a great addition to the collection. You know, just Khan in general, he's a pretty cool toy. You know, the original, the 2000X, they both had the spitting, the Venom spitting, whatever.
Well, for CamelCon, real quick, for fans that, I mean, maybe don't know, I mean, because, you know, there's the real, you know, some of those collectors that love getting every variant from every part of the world. I mean, he's a Top Toys figure, and he's not from the United States, though, correct?
Just very to let scarce. People know.
Okay. Yeah. And what country was it again he was from?
Argentina.
Okay, so that's why, in case fans were wondering, why don't I have a CamelCon? It was nothing from the U.S. It was, like I said, Top Toys did a lot of stuff where sometimes they would just have, like, little alterations and colors and stuff. But CamelCon
– Modulok had, like, glow-in-the-dark arms or something
right,
like that.
Right, what was cool about CamelCon, or Camuflado, you know, I think is how it was on his card back. I mean, he was actually – he wasn't just a different slightly colored. It's now Cobra Con with buzz-off arms. I think they said maybe the first couple might have had the normal arms, but the later ones came with basically buzz-off arms. He has that spray-painted Snake Men chest emblem. Yes. So now he's an official member of the Snake Men.
Right, and so, he had a camouflage – like his outfit was like camouflaged.
Right.
You know, so.
So it's a variant that is beyond just a regular variant. Almost felt like a new figure, and it is a shame we ever got it here. But because you know, he was never an official member of the Snake Men here, because remember he was out before the Snake Men.
Exactly.
But it was so. Right. In case people are wondering who he is, that's where he came from, and now they're making a classics figure of him, and he does look cool. But I never knew nothing about him until, of course, obviously the internet, because you know I'm in the United States.
Right.
I don't know about these other countries,
right.
And
yeah, just like the rest of us, because you know Topps Toys. You know, on way south, and that stuff didn't get up here until the internet, you know, very rare collectors and, you know, who did trades and talks and stuff like that, or had connections across the border or whatever. But, when I actually first found the character, I fell in love with him. I was like, you know, and I'm not one for variants. I can't stand them. I think it's just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think he's just such a cool character, and you can make him another character. You don't have to necessarily make him another con. You know, you can call him camo or, you know, camouflage, however you say it in Spanish.
Yeah, you can call him CK, whatever you want. Tyler, do you remember when you first seen him? I mean, was it because, you know, like you said, sometimes you were like finding out things with Masters, you know, whether it was through tapes at first or then when you'd go online. Did you think he was a U.S. release or wonder where he came from? Or did you, you know, immediately know, oh, this ain't from the United States?
Oh, the first time I saw him, it was clearly telling me that he was from Argentina. And I think it was in I did a lot of magazine reading in the 90s a lot. Anything that had He-Man popped up. And I'm pretty sure that's when I saw the figure for the first time. I don't know if it was in like –
it might have been in Tom Arts too back then.
It was either Tom Arts or Lee's Toy Review, because both of them
were
a lot of spreads for He-Man. But it was somewhere in there. It may even be the internet, but it was early on. But I always thought it was like an interesting, like, kind of at the time I thought that's kind of like a cool kind of knockoff thing that you just kind of threw together to incorporate into the He-Man line. Like they've just kind of made their own character out of Cobra Khan. And I thought it was really interesting. And I just thought, I was like, well, that sucks. It's just like the figures that released in Europe, like Laser Power and Laser Light and the Giants.
Right.
I'm like, another thing us American fans got screwed out of. So.
I also believe there's another figure that they made. You know, I don't know if it was like Yugoslavia or something like that, but they actually made like a Royal Guard figure. But I don't.
Are you sure that wasn't just a custom?
No. It was. It was either in South America or Yugoslavia. They made like an 8-figure run, and Man at Arms had his mustache, and they had like a Royal Guard like figure.
Now,
had a name.
Well, they did have a name. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I thought you might have been drinking.
Too, yeah.
You know, just to quote Friday, I thought you might have been drinking that wine, smoking them tweeds or something. I know it's like, what you talking about? But no, but hey, that would be unique. What was cool is, at least with, you know, like you said, Camuflado Khan or Camo Khan, at least his name was on the package as that, with that, you know, crazy way they did that. So it was unique, and I just remember the first time I seen him, I thought it was, again, I think that was a random internet search. I was upset because I was like, how did I miss this? I didn't understand what was going on. And then I found out it was another country. And then I was thinking, more stuff. I was like, well, I'll never get it. You know, it's like it's way too expensive. I'll never own this thing. But still cool to see.
Summer Axel
without a doubt.
Own one of those.
What
does
that?
He?
Hey, I mean, as a kid, he told me he had a Camo Con.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Yeah, I remember talking to him about it a while back, and I just I just thought, oh my gosh, to know somebody that actually owned the figure.
Because
it just seemed like such a far-fetched item. Like, it's just kind of one of those, like, it makes the Ark and Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like this. Like, is it really out there? I mean, is it, you know?
He pops up a lot on eBay, but the thing is that, you know, there's a lot of fakes too, so you got to be careful. You know,
yeah, he can.
He does,
yeah,
He will pop up every so often, but the price tag is ridiculous that they're looking for too for it. So it's
Yeah,
like,
people like Toy Hunter like to go on there and say, "Oh man, this is a wonderful, like it's an artifact, man. It's an
yeah,
original."
I don't even think that Toy Hunter even knows that the thing exists.
You hold on, Tyler. Tyler, you better not work up Brian because it's gonna bring out his hate for him. We want to have that a repeat of
Oh,
last
I'm right
episode.
there with him on the guys. Like I've watched the show plenty of times. I can't stand the dude, so I just like taking out. I
Yeah.
like getting Brian all round up, you know.
Yeah, no. If people didn't write, you know, if they didn't script it for him, the guy has no clue about what he's talking about. So,
Well, the
move
emperor,
on.
the emperor would love you too. He feels the hate in both of you, but
yeah. Oh, I'm ready to jump to the dark side right now. I ain't fighting it.
I'm with you,
Ready
bro.
to,
I'm
you're
with you.
already on it, but
Open
well,
the
anyways, we're talking about Cobra Con in general. You know, I mean, well, let's go to Cobra Con. I mean, he was always like one of my favorite characters, whether it was from the figure that I like playing with or just seeing him in filmation, his sneakiness. But he felt so
Right.
evil in that cartoon. He didn't feel like, you know, a lot of the other characters unfortunately got the joking treatment or seemed buffoon-like. But I never felt like I got that from Cobra Con in filmation. As much as people want to harp on the whole cartoon as being silly, it's not if they go back and watch it. But like, first the toy. I mean, I loved it. It was one of the first kind of features where you fill them up with water, it sprays. I mean, it was
Right.
like something on a hot summer day. I always like filling them up, and when I go outside, I'm playing with Cobra Con by cooling myself off. So the figure had a fun little feature, but then,
Yeah, it
like,
was
you know,
cool too if you had Dragon Blaster, you can switch the heads.
you could go ahead and mix and match, have fun. But
Yeah.
then, like in the cartoon, I think he had, was it like a sleeping or a knockout gas
Yeah,
that came out
it
of
was a
his
sleeping gas, yeah. Yeah.
And that came out of
But
his, like, did his hood pop up and that's how he
yeah,
did it or
hood.
what?
Yeah, the hood. But you know, like you said, like with the even the MYP version was even more like sneaky and cunning and you know and
Right.
more manipulative. You know, it he they really made him more of a villain, more of like a villain's villain. You know, he was really out to you know overthrow the Snake Man.
Because what do you get from him? Because it's like he was always like, didn't it seem like he was always just playing defense to do what, you know, for his own needs? I mean, I know Tyler has a little obsession on the sneakiness of Cobra Khan, but is that what you get out of him? Like he'll just do what he has to
Yeah.
do?
He was, you know, he wanted the power, you know. He had, you know, well, he, you know, he was he had the blood in him, you know, so he's from the ancient Snake Men. So, you know, and he felt like he had the right, just like, you know, the other generals, that he should have been you know, right up in the ranks, like Snake Face and Rattlore and whatever. And I don't think he got what he deserved, and you know that's why he always, you know, whoever would listen to him and fall for his tricks, he'd work with them, you know, whether it be Evil Lyn, Skeletor, Hordak, whatever, you know,
Sure.
just trying to get ahead, you know, trying to make a name for himself, trying to be one of the badass guys on Eternia.
Right. What do you think, Tyler? What were your thoughts on him and his ways?
I definitely preferred the Filmation because, at least in the sense that I like him being an evil warrior. I like him being loyal to Skeletor. I like him being a very competent and someone that Skeletor respects. Because for most of his appearances, he's portrayed as someone that Skeletor does respect. He's not kind of like called names at, or you know, I mean the first
Like
time you see
Beastman, yeah.
do what now?
But like what, like Skeletor would always call Beastman like a boob or something like
Yeah, or
that.
heck, like
And yeah.
he would slam Trapjaw or Merman Wolf to
Right,
Cobra Con.
right,
Like the
right.
first time you even meet Cobra Con, which to me, I would had like that moment that Kramer saw Bette Midler for the first time on Seinfeld. You kind of do that kind of. That was my ex like feeling of seeing Cobra Con, because then he's there with Web Store and Buzz Off and Mechanic. So I was just like, oh, it's Cobra Con.
It's Roy Rogers' chicken.
I was sitting there eating Roy's Rogers chicken, slobbered all over my face. And I'm sitting there watching Disappearing Dragons, man. But it was,
Yeah. Yeah.
but pretty much all of his, except for the last episode, The Cold Zone, where he's kind of working on his own, you know, against the Reptons and stuff like that, driving up
Those are
the
his
land
people,
shark.
and those were his people, right? The
Yeah,
Repton.
in Filmation, yeah. And
In
I
Filmation, yeah.
yeah, and I like the idea that because I feel like that makes it all like all snake men, so to speak, you know, they're all from the same group. And I always like the idea that Cobra Khan was kind of his own thing. and that in the original series he's, you know, asked by Skeletor to join the Snake Man as a spy.
Right.
Because in MYP he's like he's infatuated with the original Snake Man. Like he wants to be but like part I said, of him so bad.
Right. Well, because he had the bloodline in him, and so like he rightfully thought that he belonged right up there with him. And you know, and it's a funny scene when he's like, ah, Skeletor, look what I brought you. You know, when he gets caught, and then Skeletor falls for it. He's like, oh, you're not a bad guy after all. Maybe I can use you. You know, he's just very cunning in the MYP version. I like that version of him a lot.
And he spits venom in the MYP one. He doesn't knock people out with sleeping gas.
No,
I kinda,
yeah.
It's kind of a blinding venom that you shoot in your eye. It kind of like kills your eyesight for a while.
Yeah, I'm looking at the figure right now. It says venom spitting con.
Yeah, they even call. Oh yeah, I forgot they even call him that. I don't know why. I just kind of preferred the knockout sleeping gas. I don't know why I found that more. I don't know, something more sneaky about it. I mean, the venom, sure, it's more wicked, and obviously you don't want to get splashed with venom in your eyes. But I don't know why I like the knockout gas. I even thought that.
Plus, he's got the stretchy arms.
Stretchy,
too,
dang it! You just thought I was gonna say. I even remember the episode where his arms went out like, you know, pythons, where he had stretchy arms in Filmation. Yep.
Yeah.
He's such a, I mean, to me, I think he's got arguably in the top three best gimmicks of all the original He-Man figures. I mean, I you could probably, you know, rank him even at number one if you wanted to, because it was such a different gimmick and it really kind of stood out from all.
Yeah, a lot of the figures were, you know, Trapjaw, Manny Faces. I mean, a lot of the characters that they, you know, even as corny as Ram Man was and. Could have done him a hell of a lot better. His gimmick was pretty cool too, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of
gimmicks, but I think Cobra Khan's I think really stands out just because of the it was a projectile that you could it was a safe projectile you could use it on yourself.
Yeah.
Like Joe said, I used to squirt it in my mouth when I was little.
Yep, I remember that.
Not that sleep.
Yeah, he was out.
Yeah, and I was just my mom and dad were like, what is going on with him and that toy?
And that's what was cool. You know, that's what I think else is cool. I mean, compare, not that I didn't love the other Snake Man, but I do. But see, that's – I think maybe that's why I kind of like preferred his Filmation portrayal more than MYP, meaning that, yes, we know that a cobra is venom, you know, venomous and has the venom and stuff. But to see a different thing where it's not venom because it has to be nice for children, he uses sleeping gas. And I know that's why they probably had to do it. But I kind of prefer it. It's like, okay, it's different. He's knocking people out. He's got arms that can stretch out like python. So he's got like a cobra. He's got python. He's got like different elements compared
to. It's similar
to
the toy also, because with the mist coming out, it's like he's spitting mist out like from the action figure. So there's kind of a similar feel of like the sleeping mist and he spits mist. So
they actually
like
translated really well with the figure. Yeah, they did it. They really did do a good job with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could carry that around. It could be like a new version of Mace. No one would expect it. You know, like somebody's attacking you, just spray.
So I'm carrying a snake, dude. Back off.
Exactly. Like, what's going to do with that toy? But
and then after they run off, you just yell, "Khan!"
Exactly. So yeah, Cobra Khan. He had like I said, a lot of different interpretations, and
he was treated pretty good too. He didn't get any good appearances in the mini comics, though. He had one appearance in that. Well, no, I take it back. Not one. But he never had a very prompt. Well, no, wait, Rock People, he had a decent one in that one too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm thinking along the lines like in Filmation, where he definitely had a very.
He never really had his own comic. Yeah, his own.
Yeah,
like,
I think he could have. Like he had one one.
Yeah, he should have had his one-off comic like the other characters did.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. But with Web Store and the Rock People, and he's in Snake Men or King of the Snake Men, and.
Yeah.
He's got like a cameo in Powers of Grayskull. Like,
was he with Rio Blast too? Wasn't he in the ones with Rio Blast?
Yeah, with Beastman. Yeah, too. The artwork was ugly in that one too.
yeah. Towards the end, it got pretty bad.
I mean, he even teamed up with Beastman and again in Meteor Monsters in the Golden Book.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, I feel like I just feel like in a way he does get overlooked. Meaning, this is a character that I think would actually – I don't even want him – if they make, you know, a Masters of the Universe movie, I don't want him being part of the Snake Man. I would love for him to be right there from the start as a member of Skeletor's Evil Warriors in a new movie, along with Beast Man and Trapjaw. I feel like he belongs with them, and it would just be such a unique, different-looking character, especially to see whatever kind of abilities you give him, whether it's the knockout gas or knockout gas and Venom, but I think right. He'd be wicked in a movie.
I can see him, like, standing next to Skeletor with his arms, like, crossed, you know, like he's always there at Skeletor's side, like...
Yeah.
You
know, very competent, like character, like, almost like a general in the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like someone that, all right, Cobra. You know,
and the other guys are envious of him because of
exactly.
his status too.
Does but he's talk smart. Much? Yeah.
Yeah. I could see he could almost have like a couple of like tiffs with some of the other evil warriors out in the battlefield because they're not in charge. But Cobra's so smart and respected by Skeletor, it's just like he's untouchable.
Yeah. Right. Especially if go ahead.
Oh, and he just has that aura about him that he's like very smart.
Yeah, and posing, too. It's like you said, it's kind of mysterious. It's almost intimidating how he'd be there. He's not a wisecracker. He's not somebody I would get talked down to like if Skeletor would, you know, admonish Beastman or even Trapjaw or any of them or yell at them. It would feel like Cobra Khan isn't the kind of person that Skeletor would do that to. Like if things really got, you know, messed up or he needed some help, it's like, all right, time to send in Cobra Khan. And even the other warriors, you know, like the other evil warriors would watch their mouth around him, you know? I think they could make him a real...
Yeah. Well, again, because of his status, they'd be afraid that he'd go back and, you know, tell Skeletor about him. So, yeah, I mean, the many interpretations of him, I pretty much like all of them. You know, he was a really good character, and again, yeah, like you said, you know, he was overlooked in a lot of ways, but I'm happy as all hell that I'm finally getting a Camo Con.
So out of all of them, which is your favorite? Since we always do their interpretations, we got to take a pick. Who is your favorite Cobra Con? What interpretation?
I mean, I don't own Camo Con, but I mean, I like the 2000X version so far. I mean, I really do. I mean, he was in like a really bad corny pose.
Wait, do you mean the 2000X figure or you mean the MYP cartoon? I meant like, you know, I mean the cartoon to the toy.
The figure I like. Okay. I'll go with the figure along with the character in the MYP cartoon. I really dug, you know, the way he acted in it. And again, like he was cunning enough where he got caught and he was able to get out of it, you know, like he's like Skeletor, I brought you this army, you know, instead of, you know, getting his head chopped off for going behind Skeletor's back, you know. Okay. I thought it was pretty cool. That's all to right. me, I like the MYP version.
And I was going to say, as much as I love the Filmation version of him, I have to pick the toy because there's too many good memories of the vintage toy. So I'm just going to pick the vintage Cobra Con toy just because, I guess, nostalgia. I can't help it. I played with that a lot. What about you, Tyler?
Oh, Filmation, hands down. Oh, okay. The excitement of seeing him in Disappearing Dragons was just, it was unmeasurable. I mean, it really was. It was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I will say that, I mean, I guess you could almost kind of lump it with the original Cobra Con because I got him for my favorite Christmas when I was 3. That was the one Christmas I got original He-Man figures, and he was one of them. So,
we all had one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we all had a different pick there, so that's what's cool, because we all didn't think the same. Well, why don't we take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about maybe a versus thing, and definitely, you think about Cobra Khan being underrated, we'll definitely bring up somebody who's really underrated.
My gosh. I can't wait to dive into that one.
We're going to put the gloves on, boys. We're going to put the gloves on.
Literally.
At least one hand, at least.
Yeah, right-handed.
Yeah. All right, let's go to commercial.
You're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com.
All right, guys, we're back from commercial, and now we're going to do our little segment.
Actually, Brian, wait. We have breaking news right here on the show. Tyler Baker has now been banned from the show for mentioning Bette Midler in the last segment, so he will no longer be on Fans of Power.
That was the quickest in and out of a person we've had on the show yet. Sorry, Tyler.
Nice. Oh, dear God. I mean,
It was fun while it lasted.
I had an extra ticket for Rochelle featuring Bette Midler, and I guess that means Doug is out.
Damn.
Oh, what a horrible miss on my part.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's man, no pineapple, you know, shaved ice for you either there.
And hey, just to let everybody know before we babble right back into our other stuff, when they were doing the references of Seinfeld, I don't have a clue what they're talking about because I've never watched a single episode, so I've never watched Seinfeld and I didn't know what they were saying.
But so it's all point and laugh at Joe.
And guys, I need help with this buzzing on my phone. I have a Samsung 6. It reset itself 2 weeks ago. You just heard of it again. Please, I need some feedback how to get rid of it. So,
yeah, leave a message, honestly.
If anyone knows Samsung phones, please call our voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can leave a voicemail message up to 10 minutes long. Explain to Brian how to turn off the buzzer.
I got the do not disturb on right now, and it's still coming through. I don't understand what the hell is going on.
I got a couple messages from fans that were like, oh, my God. They said, Joe, all I'm doing is hearing Brian's buzz. It's driving me crazy.
Joking.
So, if you guys know, help him out.
Help
him out. Do like some sort of infomercial for Brian, you know, like for just 25 cents a day, you can help this poor man. We show like a slow motion picture of Brian with food on his face, and he's just like crying, you know.
Please help
and
Brian.
Doug just kind of walks in, you know, with your help, you know, we can ensure these podcasts, are, you know, aren't so effed up anymore.
For the cost of a vintage pack of Panini stickers for the Panini sticker album, you can help Brian fix his
ticket. That's right, 25 cents. But all right. Well,
I'll go back to mute. You guys handle the show.
Yeah, you go back. You go hide.
You got no problems with my Bette Midler asphyxiation there, Doug. You just chime right in there.
All right, guys. So we're gonna do a little segment now. It's we're gonna have a little head to head.
Versus battle.
Yeah, versus battle. I guess we can call it that too.
We need Howard Fink to announce these two guys here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest scheduled for one fall. Is for the Eternian Championship. Introducing first, from the Dark Hemisphere, weighing 275 pounds, Jitsu!
Or Boo.
And his opponent, from, I don't know, the Green Forest.
From Fisto's Forest.
Okay, and his opponent, well, I don't know, from the Evergreen Forest.
It's Fisto's Forest.
No, I can't do it because I got to do his name. From the Evergreen Forest, weighing 295 pounds. Fisto!
So now, there's our battle. It's Jitsu versus Fisto.
Now.
Or Brian.
Tyler, you can start it off. It's kind of like a new thing we're doing. So, you know, I guess you can wing it. Pros and cons, who you like better, what do you like most about whom, just start rambling, bro.
I want to start by saying that this was something that at least Mattel was kind of making clear from the beginning, that these two were supposed to be enemies. Mm-hmm. With they were kind of being doppelgangers of each other. They each were given a two-pack release, and one was Stridor, one with Night Stalker. Which I remember seeing that as a kid, and it still haunts me to this day, not getting that Jitsu Night Stalker 2 back in the KB Toys at Tanglewood Mall in 1989, I believe the year it was.
Good God,
being denied that. But I was always fascinated by that matchup. And I didn't have a Jitsu till I was, I think, in fifth grade. I got it from secondhand from one of my classmates. But I just always thought that matchup between these two, because it's kind of hinted at in Clash of Arms a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I just thought this is something that really, I mean, we should have been given like a Golden Book storybook that is just like, a one shot of those two duking it out over a lost artifact or treasure, like Skeletor sends Jitsu out to get something and Fister's on Stridor, and they just get in this big kind of chase across, you know, the mountains and stuff, and duke it out in hand-to-hand combat, no pun intended. It's something that I just felt like could have been so awesome for them to really build up a history between those two, because it was clear that these two were supposed to be like He-Man and Skeletor. They're enemies. They are very similar to each other. You know, I'm sure Fisto is essentially a brawler. Jitsu is a martial arts master, you know, master of martial arts, like his card back says. But
right.
I just felt like that was a story that, you know, was just untapped. It had so much potential.
Now, Now, do you take it or leave it, the version of the MYP, how they explain how Fisto with his arm, being
to me I choose that to believe that doesn't exist. The idea that Fisto had just started punching a rocks to get everybody out and it was replaced, I find that to be very weak and not very mystical of the character.
And didn't he already before he was punching, didn't he already have this big ginormous
I kind of felt that was a little silly,
I did too. I kind of see it as like a man at arms type, mecha neck enhancement type thing going on.
It looks like it was built out of like it was forged by a blacksmith, like his hand, like the original one was. Whereas Jitsu, I like to think of, is that his hand was cut off, possibly by Fisto, because they both use swords. If they're not using their big hands, they have a sword. So I like to think that there's kind of a vendetta between the two, that Fisto took Jitsu's right arm. Maybe Fisto's right hand was injured severely and was kind of given this forged, like, brand-new fist,
That's something that I envision myself, too. It's like I see that happening, from, like, Man-at-Arms Workshop. Like, this guy's hand got shattered and, Man-at-Arms went to work and he gave him this giant fist power or whatever you want to call it. And that's what he's got going for him. That's his weapon. He's got a giant fist that knocks people out.
And that's as toys. You always think about, obviously when we were having these, we were kids, we like playing with this stuff, and just the gimmick of those two things, the spring loaded hands, having them like smack and bang against each other, which was kind of hard because you couldn't like almost do them at the same time. You always had to play with a friend because you couldn't like really activate both hands. It was kind of awkward, but just to have them clanging and banging was cool. And it's so bad that we didn't get much of that out of Filmation. We never got it. How many episodes was Jitsu even in?
One, and he wasn't even name checked. His name wasn't even said.
Yeah, wasn't even like dubbed Chopper or something.
When he was put in that episode, his name was Chopper, but they didn't even name check him because they felt like he's Asian and he's a bad guy. We're gonna get letters.
And you know what? You wouldn't have, because here's the thing. What's cool about that, it's not like naming him after an artifact or some kind of food or stereotyping. Jitsu comes from ninjutsu, and he's supposed to be a martial arts master, so there's no disrespect. And it's sad, and it's sad they couldn't have put Jitsu in there, and we couldn't get some great battles between him and Fisto. And what sucks even more, this is when I was talking about underrated when we first were talking about Cobra Khan. Now we were talking about, Jitsu. Jitsu got barely nothing. We got him, like you said, in Clash of Arms, where he finally had at least one highlight. Right when it starts off, Fisto is like sitting there on Stridor picking flowers or cutting down some weeds. And bam, here comes Jitsu doing a sucker chop right to his face and knocks him right off that horse. And then they go into the battle arena and Jitsu is going to attack, but Fisto is ready for him this time, and Fisto just punches him one time and Jitsu's done. But that's the only really fight we got. And
we got him using some martial arts in a Hordax mini comic.
Oh, okay.
He kicks Leech in the face. Like Leech is like trying to drain him, and then he kicks him in the face. So it's one panel, but at least kind of showcases that he.
But again, like if the New Adventures went on for another season,
New Adventures. Remember that was going to be in the Classics bio.
No, it was the New Adventures that he took over Snake Mountain.
There, dude.
You keep thinking about when he takes over Snake Mountain. That's a classic sound. New Adventures, that was when Man-at-Arms would take over.
Right. I fucked it up again. So
That's okay. We'll do this next week, too.
I'm sure I'll forget and bring it up again.
That's all right. MYP, what upsets me is, why didn't we get him in MYP? He deserved to be in that cartoon, and he could have been so imposing again as to have an awesome character. And then what do we get him as? We get him as the next season. We got him as a fantastic. We got him as that fantastic Staction. The Staction is, oh my God, awesome looking. But again, he didn't appear in the cartoon at all for MYP. So it's like, this is another character that, again, if we start getting movies and stuff or start getting something back, don't wait. Give us these characters that need to have some kind of screen time or some air time and make them awesome.
Some blood squirt, throw a gold fucking hand on them, and there you go.
From you talking about Bolo or whatever the way who?
Yeah, that guy.
Well, I don't know. He's probably like 80 years old.
Yeah. He's probably over the hill, but
No, but yeah, that's what I mean. So I mean, Jitsu is just he's so another underrated character. We never got much out of him, and you don't feel like you should be afraid to tackle this character, call him any particular name.
He was in the Star Comics too, no?
Wasn't he?
No, I'm thinking of Ninja. He was in Star Comics.
Ninja, he was in one issue of Star Comics. Yeah, he had an appearance in the Rock Warriors with Web Store. Right. He had an appearance in
Search for Kildor. You talking about Ninja?
No, I'm talking about Jitsu.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Had a moment.
Demons of the Deep Golden Book, like the hardcover book. He was in the Skeletor's Flower of Power, I believe.
Golden Book.
Another Golden Book, but it was just kind of like a standby character appearance, like he's there with Merman or he's there with Webstore, and didn't really do a whole lot. So, but it was always great to see, like, oh my gosh, there he is, because he had a great design, an evil Asian kind of warlord character, you know, with the big gold hand. You know, it's just such a shame that either Mattel got cold feet on really pushing that character. I mean, obviously Filmation did because of the silly stereotype. I'm like, good grief.
Yeah, because it wasn't. It's so sad. There was no stereotype.
They weren't afraid to give Queen Belina this big, like, African accent, as if, like, all the black characters in He-Man have this – they come from Africa or something like that. You know, like they come from some native village or something, but – they can't put Jitsu in more episodes. Oh, no. People, we're getting death threats and say we're practicing voodoo and devil.
I mean, it's a shame if they thought that.
Now I see that happening with all the PC bullshit, but I mean, back then, they definitely could have gotten away with anything they wanted.
Yeah, I didn't know that was the reason that shocks me, because, like I said, there's absolutely nothing offensive about him.
Well, Michael Reeves even said, because he wrote the episode Dragon Invasion that Jitsu is in, and he even he tells a story. I mean, it's on the first DVD release of season one, volume one, and he actually mentions that, you know, Chopper, he's an Asian. Is people gonna have a problem with this? Because he gets a little bit of backstory about writing that episode and the concern of having an Asian villain in the cartoon.
What's that on a documentary?
It's on like the special features when they're kind of giving like a little retrospect on each episode, right. Like they interview like the writer or the director.
Okay.
And Dragon Invasion, Michael Reeves is asked about that, and he kind of gives a little bit of insight about, you know, obviously that's why Chopper Jitsu, pretty much got dropped after that episode.
Wow.
He
could have been a good player, you know, on Skeletor's side.
He's also kind of portrayed as a bit of a simpleton, because he speaks kind of like kind of slow, but he's not looked upon as like a dummy. Like he
right. And then again, when Fisto was included, you know, that maybe we could have had that epic battle, you know.
It would have been good, and it's sad. Yeah. Like I said, it never happened, because again, I would have never thought that was stereotype. Like for me, you know, being half Italian and with, you know, my, of course, full-blooded side of the family, you would think somebody like Super Mario, how he's always like, "It's me, Mario." Now that's being stereotypical. Now that should upset people. Yeah. But even that, it's like, okay, it's a freaking cartoon. It's a game. I don't care. I mean, I know they're not meaning anything harmful, but Jitsu was far from that. He, like I said, his name comes from the martial arts.
The 80s. There was nothing but ninja movies being released all over the place in the 80s, and nobody was throwing a fit over that.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, like I said, I'm confused. I never knew this until you guys told me. I never knew that was why. It's just, like I said, Jitsu comes from ninjutsu. It's not a stereotype. Wow, that loses me. It's a shame we didn't get him. But hopefully in the future, like I said, it is somebody we get, because I'd love to see the elements that we never got between him and Fisto.
He could be a simple character to make. I mean, you know, you get a buff Asian dude and you throw a nice gold glove, you know, if you don't want to do, you know, CGI, you can slap something good together now. You know,
Tagawa to play his voice in like a new cartoon. The guy who played Shang Tsung in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Okay.
He's got a really good, like, evil voice. I could picture him because he sounds very.
Oh yeah, I totally see him with a complete like evil tone. You know, doesn't speak much, but when he does, it carries volumes. You know.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say if anyone has ever seen The Phantom, you know, the Billy Zane movie about.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Cary Tagawa is in that, and he's playing. I forgot it's original character from The Phantom, but he's completely done over, and he looks very similar to the Staction version of Jitsu.
Oh no, kidding! Really? And you know, bringing up that Staction that you just talked about, because I have a question. I'm sure you both hopefully will be able to answer me.
Broken ponytail.
Not the broken ponytail, which a lot of people had that for the Staction, but you know his gigantic glove that has like those kind of like gems or jewels or whatever in it. Was there ever any explanation behind those? Because I want to tell you something.
He stole those
from
Thanos. It's the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay, so there was never an explanation. Yes. Was there no origin? Okay, the reason being is I always had like a little story in my head of those gems. I envisioned for me, and which would be cool, I would hope that if he does return ever, he has that big oversized, you know, hand with the gems, that maybe they have abilities. Like, maybe I can have it to where whether his hand could spin like a buzzsaw, maybe it could fly off in the cartoon and then retract.
Yeah, you know,
maybe
it
has
maybe
it has a crazy vibration motion that can make him, like, you know, slice through steel quicker. But I think those gems could be something that could be used for his glove.
Again, just like what Tyler said, like the, you know, Thanos's, you know, the gauntlet. Maybe,
I'm
you
sure
know,
the horsemen had an idea when they designed that. I'm sure that
I'm curious did. Because it would be awesome. Because, like I said, it would be better than just having just the regular big gold.
When I
stop
at PowerCon,
like,
I'll bring it
like
up.
The Mandarin.
I'll ask
it. You know, like in the Iron Man comics, like the Mandarin
right.
has that glove with those, the, I'm not too well versed on Iron Man's universe, but. You know, had that I think a glove with I know people who listen to this that are Marvel fanatics are like freaking out right now. Any other character, I could probably tell you right now, I don't know the Mandarin that well, but I just know that he's got the it's like the 10 rings or something like that. I don't know. I was thinking he had a glove. Maybe it's rings he wears or something.
He has rings. You're right. Yes,
okay.
It's rings.
That's what maybe it's kind of like a reference. Something similar to that. I you know, that's just kind of thinking about things right off the top of my head right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe it's just like with everything the Horseman did, it just looks cool.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I was going with it. I was like, I was picturing him being mystical gems that can make that hand be more than just a golden chopping hand, that it would do more than that. And it would just definitely make him, you know, beyond any martial arts that he would do. And, you know, having him be in the movie finally or cartoon, I thought it would just make his character a little more cooler, especially for future features if, you know, they turn to a toy and maybe had spring-loaded action. But. Yeah, but yeah, those are two characters, like I said, that have always been ones that I wish I could have seen more in the cartoon beyond just playing with the toys, because they're both great. I know I haven't even really mentioned Fisto much. I mean, I did love Fisto, but...
What is the Chase Fisto from the 2000X? What's the difference?
Oh, God. Now, see, I'm not much into Chase figures, which...
I'm not either, but I don't know...
But I couldn't remember if it was his color or something on the belt or glove, possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
And if there's somebody out there that knows, please let us know, because I didn't collect all the Chase variant colors.
I mean,
it was a waste
of money. Chase, I think that I have is Orko, and I like his weapon is a different color, like the ball and the weapon, the paint.
Oh, okay, I got you. The orange and blue was first. I remember the hardest ones were, I think, that He-Man and Skeletor. Yeah, it was like their chest harnesses were reversed colors or something nuts, and God, those things went super expensive. But yeah, I don't know about Fisto though, so hopefully they know. And I guess I'm more of a fan between them both of just Jitsu, because I never got what I wanted out of them. I wanted more, and I don't get me wrong, I love Fisto, great character too, but it's just I always see sometimes the undeveloped characters in my head, and it makes them more interesting to me. Because we never got what I envisioned. So I don't know. I mean, I guess if maybe he was in more cartoon episodes and they fought, I might have a different opinion. But between them both, I guess, I don't know, I'd like to see Jitsu come out on top over Fisto as between that battle.
Yeah, I would see that. I always root for evil anyway for some reason. I'm always an underdog. I like the underdog story. So.
Hey, you got it.
Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. I'd like to see. What's going on?
Hello?
You there?
Hello? I hear you.
Tyler thinks we can't hear him, but we can hear him, and he's talking. He thinks he's out. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We'll send him a message while we're still talking.
Yeah, tell him to call in. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be a great battle. You know, start out with the swords break, and then it turns into hand to hand, and literally hand to hand. You know, I think it would be a great battle.
Yeah, because I never used. You know, I'm glad you just brought that up. I never used the swords. I just thought of that. As for the toys,
yeah, I always just use the fists and the open hand. You know, I always use that.
Yeah, and I couldn't even remember in the Filmation cartoon. I couldn't even remember if did Fisto ever show his sword at all? Did he ever use it?
I don't think he did, but I think Chopper did. I think Chopper did have his sword, but I could be wrong. It's been a while.
Yeah, and if,
all right, can you guys hear me? All right.
All right, you're back.
Yeah, we can hear you. Hello? Can you hear us? Oh wow, I feel bad. Tyler cannot hear us. I sent him a message again. I was like, we can hear you, but oh, he's having a problem hearing us apparently. Well, yeah. I don't know if when we finish the show,
Midler, I can answer.
See, I think that was it. Doug really did kick him off because of Bette Midler. Tyler's gone.
Okay, if you guys can hear me, I can't hear you at all. Like I'm getting nothing.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
So this was that's really good for the show. He's poor Tyler. He's having a plea. Oh, that's all right. Well, for a second I didn't know Doug. Now that could be a quick edit if you wanted to try to bring him back in. Can you or no? Can you hang him?
I probably could.
Okay, there we are. There we are.
You can hear us.
Yeah. Yes. Some jackass probably selling insurance called me on this phone and screwed.
Oh,
he's probably trying to sell you the Bette Midler collection on CD because he heard the show and he was like, "That's the one guy. That's the one guy I can sell this to."
We were talking about you the whole time. We could hear you and everything. We said, "That's it." He said he really did get kicked off because of Bette Midler. But okay, well, what you missed, Tyler? Brian brought up a thing that I completely forgot about. You know, he was like, you know, talking about yeah, and I could see them clanging swords, and I forgot about that. I was like, you know, as for the figures. I never used the vintage figures. I never used their swords at all. And I couldn't even remember. Did they have them in the Filmation cartoon ever?
No, neither one of them. You know, it was strictly featuring their action feature.
Okay, so they never even had. I wouldn't even want them to have. So now that we're talking about it, whether it's a new movie or cartoon, I wouldn't even want them to have swords. I just don't want it. I know people love that big, gigantic sword that he had from, Yeah, from 2000X. Yeah. But for me, again, he's Fisto. I don't care about the sword. The sword is awesome, but I was like, I want to see him popping with that big fist and just chopping with that big hand. I don't care about no weapons. Just let him fight and brawl and kick each other's butts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it would kind of – I think to a general audience to see these two guys – you know, on screen in a new cartoon or a new movie, and you got they have these extended features of like a massive right hand, but they're using their left hand to kind of sword fight. It may look a little
awkward.
Same
thing with like Clawful. Same
you know
thing.
What I would like, I would like for them to square off on their horses, like a joust.
jousting with their fists and
jousting with the swords. And swords, you know, get broken or chopped, you know, they fall.
I see. That's the only time they could use them. It's on a joust.
Right. And then they get off the horses and, you know, they go hand to hand.
Yeah, because like I said, it's like a lot of the characters. It was cool to get them in figure form to have extra accessories because I could understand that. You know, kids, we eat up extra little weapons. But like with Clawful, Clawful was never using that green mace. He was always using his big claw. Spikor was using his trident. I didn't care about his spike club. It's, again, cool stuff. But thinking about it, keep that in mind for movies or cartoons. You know, keep their little side weapons to the side and just let them get going with what they, you know, are known for.
Exactly.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, do you guys have like a definitive winner in a fight between those two?
For me, my definitive winner, I just want Jitsu because I wanted more out of them. That's just me, but that's my choice.
I agree. I would like to see Jitsu on top.
Oh, this looks like a major TKO because I'm picking Jitsu also.
Oh, you picked? Oh, well, the first time we all agreed. I think that's a first.
Yeah. It's a good. I mean, the guy just deserves more. He got the short end of the stick. You know, it's unfortunate. He should have been in a lot more episodes. I mean, he was in one of the, you know, the first originals, and he was forgotten about, which is kind of sad.
Yep.
He would have been a major player, you know.
Yeah, you could see him too as being someone. I mean, I guess, you know, there's certain characters I always feel like could be taken very seriously, and you know, I still hold him and as a kid, him and Clawful, I always felt were like the two like top of the list evil warriors for me when I was little. But I still to this day kind of hold Jitsu in such high regard, as if like there was like an inner council of like evil warriors. You have like, you know, Cobra Khan, Triclops, Jitsu,
Evil-Lyn.
Then the other one, I'm going to say Blade because I want to throw the movie in.
Right. And Merman, another general.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you could, the list could go. I mean, everybody could have like their
yeah. Brand,
but I just feel like he's such a more confident character. You know, he looks like somebody who would be leading, you know, an army of you know, robot troops or Hover Knights or, you know, whatever choice of army that Skelter is using in a particular battle. He just looks like a general, you know, like someone who'd be riding Night Stalker into battle, leading a charge or something.
Without a doubt.
You want a Joe Amato dork moment? This is what I used to remember. I don't know if I was the only one that used to do
dorkier
this.
Than Bette Midler.
I don't know. I mean, this possibly could be. I used to like turning his hand kind of sideways where like, you know, like the palm is facing down and he would like give me like, you know, some skin. When I was a kid, he'd slap my hand and I would like,
what a dork.
So there's Joe Amato's dork moment. I used to like just rotating a hand and slap. He would give me some skin. So there we go. Joe Amato's dork moment of the show.
He's driving with Jitsu.
There you go. That's, I guess that's going to bring us to the end of the show, man. And we, another good time. Again, please, if you have any info how to get rid of this goddamn buzzing, please let us know. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know. I thought I figured it out. Apparently, I didn't. So, with that being said, Tyler, we'll start with you with your send off. And what do you got to say?
All right. I'm going to say, since we've been talking, about a couple of particular characters here, I'm going to do my episode plug for this week, and I'm going to really push Disappearing Dragons. I think to see the evil warriors of Webster and Cobra Khan working on their own and looking for ways to take over Eternia without Skeletor even being mentioned. Right. It's a great way of introducing Cobra Khan into the mythology of someone who's just like, you know, I really don't need to work with Skeletor for dominance, and Webster's right there with him. You know, I always still to this day like to see those two as like buddies that working together on attacks, like they're like a tag team. Like if you see one, you know the other was not too far behind.
Yeah, right.
There's not too many pairings of evil warriors that I kind of like instantly think of, but those two, because of that,
or that will work well together too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I just because they show up together in Journey to Stone City, and right. And they're in the Rock People mini comics. So I just I think it's a great tag team. Plus, that's the best interpretation of Mechanek with Lou Scheimer's robotic voice. That's the best time Mechanek was ever portrayed in filmation because he had a really good voice, and it's a great. Moral to the story about animal cruelty. I think it's one of the best. Not beating over your head. It's just really good. And one of the most underrated episodes of all time. It doesn't get talked about.
A lot of the episodes are, if you really go back and look at them.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody's talking about just a handful of episodes, and that's really about it. And that's an episode that's not Skeletor heavy. It's the evil warriors working on their own. They're portrayed as very competent. I mean, to be, you know, assembling dragons for cockfighting, you know, it's an awesome story, you know, and that's my plug for the week.
And side note, it's definitely better. I agree. I like the episodes where you have the villains, you know, one-offs, because you get to learn and get to know them better, you know. It was cool. I agree. I like that aspect when they used to do that.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. So, Joe, your turn?
All right, well, I was going to just mention a couple pages real quick. You know, always check out the all-encompassing Masters Universe, you know, Princess Power New Adventures page on Facebook. It's a great page for just, you know, discussing and, you know, sharing memories and whatever collection pictures. They just don't buy, sell, or trade there, but it's an awesome page. You
but
can always
have a sell and trade page as well.
They do have one just for selling and trading, too, yes. But there's their one that's just a pure discussion if you like just doing discussing.
Right.
Then there's, of course, the Vintage Obscure Masters of the Universe page where, you know, you can discuss and buy, sell, and trade there. That's yes. on Facebook. It's fun. There's the Motu Nation, a new group. That's a fun one. Yep. And Masters and Mythos is a great one. And one other shout out, and this I never really do shout outs to family, but this time I have to give one out to my sister Wendy. A couple days ago, she sent me a picture, and it just shocked me. It was out of nowhere, because where I live, we have nothing as for Masters. You can't find nothing, you know, used at garage sales. Well, she showed me a picture of that the He-Man bicycle. It was the power cycle or whatever.
Yes.
I forgot what it was.
Yes.
I forgot. Yeah, so she showed me a picture. She's like, Joe, I just found somebody who has this. She's like, what do you know about it? I was like, what I know is I ain't never had that. I was like, oh, my
right.
God. I was like, if you could get that, I was like, could you? So through some ways, she was actually able to get this for me, and I just got that today. It is the coolest looking – I mean, it's just the coolest thing because now it's in the collection. But it's got all the stickers from what I know.
Awesome.
I think that it
awesome.
Used to have training wheels, but I don't care. It doesn't have training wheels. But I think the kid who this used to belong to, maybe he was grounded all the time because, Jesus, the treads – it doesn't even look like this thing was ridden. The blue paint on the bars, I mean, it's just – it's mint. There's no scratches.
How much did you get it for?
I won't say on air, but it was cheap. It was a good price.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good
yeah,
price.
Good.
Do you plan on customizing this for anybody?
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to paint it red. I'm going to turn it into
customize and
I'm going to turn into a strawberry shortcake bike and just wreck everything about it.
I hope you will at least give the fans like a teaser picture of like you from the neck down sitting on this bike, you know. You know, going for like attempting to go for like a small bike, right? Like Pee Wee or Kramer on his girl's bike, or tying it back to Seinfeld here.
Here we go, back to Seinfeld, which I never seen, and which would be cool. But you know, again, these bikes, I didn't realize how small it was. It's a smaller bike, but other thing that's cool is there were the bikes that had those really hard tires. You don't have to worry about flats.
Yep.
So it was, but like I said, all the, and like, you know, I seen different art that I never seen, like on the front where, you know, they talk about I think it was Battle Cycle. I think that's what it was called. But on the front, it has a unique sticker of He-Man on the front that I don't think I've seen that art before. But it's just cool she found this for me, and I can't thank her enough. It's the coolest
really
piece,
cool.
You know, that I've had in my collection. Because
actually, out of that PowerCon, the last one, but I had no way of getting it back. I wasn't going to carry it on or whatever, so.
You could have wrote it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have taken about 3 months, but yeah.
And so thank you again, Wendy. It's I love that thing. And
you'll have to put
so
like
much.
A He-Man trading card in the spokes. That bike.
there you go. Take it old school. I have a lot of extra ones, so maybe I can do that. But that's it.
All right. Well, it's my turn. Just want to say to the fans, thanks for listening again. We appreciate it more than you can ever imagine. The three of us and Dirt, we love to do this every week. We look forward to it. And we just want to keep doing it. So please keep listening. Give us your feedback. You know, I want to say come visit the 80s Masters Facebook page, the All Encompassing Facebook page. Go to HeManWorld.com, PopCultureNetwork.com, FansOfPower.com. If I'm missing anything, I'm sorry. I'm on the spot right now. Just again, guys, you know, I love doing the show with the rest of the guys. It's fun. It's we learn. Hopefully, we're teaching guys people things that you don't know, and you know, bringing things to light that maybe people haven't heard or known about. It's just a really cool show to do, and I'm glad we finally got to do it. And I'm hoping that you guys enjoy listening to it because. Like I said, we have a ball doing it. So, that's pretty much all I have to say for this week. As you can tell, my voice is going too. So, but yeah, thanks again, guys. And until next time, man, rock on, man.
Have a powerful day.
Good journey.